We're in Acts chapter 16 today. So if you have your Bibles and like to turn there, you see the title there, Impressions Matter. Impressions matter. I've heard all my life the saying that says you never get a second chance to make a first impression. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. And I kind of want to share this scripture with you this morning. And then we're going to talk about the impression that a couple of people in our scripture leave with some very important people in this situation. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, ran to the dungeon, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. And then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Father, this is your word. And I ask your blessing on it this morning. Use it for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Impressions matter. I want to talk for a few moments about the impression that two guys, Paul and Silas, made on this jailer. We don't even know his name. What's really going on in this story? We need to understand some of the background here. If you look just a few verses back in the chapter, verses 16 through 24, we find exactly what's going on. Paul and Silas were going about the city, and they were carrying on their ministry. It says they were going to pray. They were on their way to the place of prayer. And there was a woman who kept following them. And this woman was basically, she was possessed by a spirit that enabled her to tell the future, to give people, to tell people's fortunes, and she could predict what was going to happen in the future. And she was a slave girl. She was owned by other people, and they used her gift to make money. They would send her to tell people their fortunes, and people would pay for that. So they made a lot of money, the scripture tells us. But she was following Paul and Silas through the streets of the city, and she kept proclaiming, "Listen to these guys. These men are servants of the Most High God. They're teaching about Jesus." And she just kept following them. She kept saying this. And it says that Paul finally got so annoyed or exasperated. You know what? That gives me hope. If one of my spiritual heroes can be annoyed and exasperated and still make it to heaven, that gives me hope. Just depends on how we react to being annoyed, right? Well, here's how Paul reacted to it. Paul turned around and he got so tired of this woman following them around, and he spoke directly to the Spirit. He said, "Spirit, come out of her." And immediately the spirit was driven from her, and she could no longer tell fortunes. She could no longer make any money for her masters and her owners. So they got mad, right? I mean, you take someone's livelihood away. You do something that causes them to lose money and not be able to take advantage of people anymore. So they got upset. So they complained to the officials and basically the law enforcement and the leaders of the day. And they said, these men are causing problems. They made all kinds of stories up about them. They lied about them, got them arrested and thrown into jail. They were stripped publicly, the scripture says. They were beaten and whipped with wooden rods. They were then arrested and they were taken to the prison. And this jailer was told, make sure they don't escape. Put them in the most secure place in the prison. So the Bible tells us that this jailer took them to the innermost part of the prison, what I would refer to as like maximum security type situation. And he puts them in the most isolated cell and then puts their feet and ankles in the stocks and in shackles so they can't get loose. So that's where Paul and Silas are. Well, what do we think happens? I want us to understand there are a lot of things going on in this passage, but here's the key verse. The key verse is verse 30. What must I do to be saved? Why is that the key verse? Because this question indicates an interest on the jailer's part. He comes to Paul and Silas, and it says he falls on his knees trembling, and he says, what must I do to be saved? That question indicates an interest. I want us to understand something today, okay? No one gets saved. No one comes to believe in Christ unless they first understand and recognize their need to believe in Christ. Something has to spark an interest. I can go talk to somebody just on the street that I have no relationship with, that I don't know anything about, and I can start sharing Christ with them and ask them if they want to get saved, and they're probably going to look at me like I'm just crazy. Because something has to happen inside of me that sparks an interest. And this question showed Paul and Silas that the jailer is interested in what's going on. So that question gave Paul and Silas an opportunity. But what causes someone to become interested in something they're not interested in before? Interest is sparked by an impression, something that the jailer saw, something that the jailer heard, something impressed him enough that it caused him to be interested in what was going on in Paul and Silas' life. So here are the things. Here are the things that jump out at me that cause this jailer to be interested and ask this question. He was impressed by the way they reacted to their circumstances. By the way they reacted to their circumstances. All they were doing was going around preaching the gospel. All they were doing was going to prayer. All they were doing was helping heal people, improving people's lives. That's all they were doing. But let's look at what happens. They've been falsely accused. Have you ever had someone falsely accuse you of something? I mean, have you ever heard something about yourself that even you didn't know was true? I mean, come on. They were publicly embarrassed. The Bible tells us they were stripped. Publicly. They were beaten and whipped publicly. They were put in prison unlawfully. Now, how do I know that? Because they were Roman citizens. And later, if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find out that the city officials got really, really nervous once they found out that Paul and Silas were actual Roman citizens and they had been arrested and put in prison without any kind of a trial. That was against Roman law. I mean, these officials had actually broken the law themselves by doing what they did to Paul and Silas. So they have all these things going on. Now they're sitting in the middle of they're sitting in the dungeon. They're sitting in the very most secure part of that prison with their feet in shackles. And about midnight, it says they started to complain. Right? Oh no, I misread that. They started to gripe to the other prisoners about how they're innocent. Listen, I worked as a jailer back in another lifetime, a long time ago. I worked as a deputy sheriff in Johnson County, Kansas for 5 years, and for 3 years, for about three of those years, I worked in the county jail. I worked everything from general population to what we would be talking about here, maximum security and disciplinary segregation module. And you know what? Every one of the people in there that I ever met was innocent. None of them ever did it. I mean, Paul and Silas, is that? No, they weren't doing any of that. Here's what it says. At about midnight, they began to pray and sing hymns. And they sang in a way that says all the other prisoners heard them. What's that tell us? It tells me that we can bind the hands and feet, but you can't bind the spirit. We can have freedom in Christ. No matter how isolated we might be, no matter how chained up we might be physically, we can still have freedom in Christ spiritually. You see, when they start singing and when they start praying, I see Paul here living out what he talks about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, when he says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned of the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. His reaction to their circumstances made an impression on this jailer. Can I ask us a question this morning? When things aren't going well in our lives, when we're being mistreated, when we're being falsely accused, what are our reactions? Tell other people. What kind of impression do we make on other people by how we react to our circumstances? I'm just going to be real honest with you. There are things that happen in life that make me not want to sing and not even want to pray, even though I need to pray. But that's not what I actually feel like in my spirit maybe at that time. Impressions matter. How we react to circumstances in this life make an impression on other people. And would my reactions cause someone to come to me and say, hey, there's something different about you. What is it? Because I want to have that in my life. Here's the second thing that made an impression on the jailer. It's their honesty and integrity. Their honesty and integrity. There's an earthquake. And that earthquake shook the very foundations of the prison. It shook things to the extent that all the prison doors just flew open and all the chains and shackles fell off of all the prisoners. There was nothing holding them in that jail any longer. They could have all just gotten up and walked out. But they didn't. They could have been free. They could have escaped. And in the darkness and in a state of panic, I can almost see it. The jailer probably couldn't see the prisoners, the earthquake. It says he came in and he called for lights. It says that the jailer assumed that they had escaped. So he took his sword and he was about to kill himself. Why? Because if you were on guard, if you were on duty, and a prisoner escaped under your watch, the penalty was death. He was getting ready to take his own life because he had assumed that Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouts, don't kill yourself. Don't do anything to yourself. We're all here. We're all here. Their honesty and their integrity saved the jailer's life. Do people look at us and recognize us as people of honesty and integrity? I think about those experiences when I was working at the sheriff's office all those years ago. And I can remember it. I can remember an instance where I was working in just one of the general population modules, the lowest, minimum security. They were there for, these were the kind of people who were there for not paying child support or not doing, they weren't violent criminals. And we were just out. They had cells, but we even had some, if all the cells were full, we had inmates sleeping on bunks. They were just out of their cells. You had constant access to them and they had constant access to you. And there were times when the inmates would be out of their cells and just around the module watching TV or playing games or whatever, and they would get called out to go to maybe it was a doctor's appointment or a visitation. And I remember one day when I was on duty, I got the phone call that one of the inmates needed to leave, and I went and notified him. I said, hey, you got a visit or you're going to see the nurse or whatever it was. I can't remember. But he had something that was valuable to him from his cell, and he didn't have time to go back to his cell and put it away. And he just asked me, he said, Deputy Warren, can I leave this at the desk with you? Can I leave this at the officer station? I said, sure. I said, I'll just keep it here. It's going to be right here till you get back. One of the other inmates spoke up and said, You can't trust no deputy. You can't trust any of these guys in blue. And before I could say a word, another inmate spoke up and said, hey, if you can't trust Deputy Warren with it, you can't trust anybody. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know he felt that way about me. But I thought, there was something about the way I handled myself around the inmates that made him trust me. Do people see us as people of honesty and integrity when they look at our lives? That's an important question to ask and an important thing for us to really understand. Here's the third and final thing that impressed this jailer. Their Christ-like spirit. It was their Christ-like spirit. Listen, after everything that's happened, after everything Paul and Silas have been through, after all the suffering and the embarrassment and all the other things that they've experienced, they could have had a completely different reaction. They could have been bitter. They could have been angry about it. They could have taken it out on the jailer. Listen, can I just tell you? He was just doing his job. He had nothing personal against Paul and Silas or any other person. He was doing his job. That's it. They could have formed a grudge. But not Paul. Why? Because it wasn't his nature. It wasn't his nature to react in that way. It wasn't a part of his character. You know, Paul, if he had to be someone's doormat in order for someone else to be saved, that's what he was willing to do. And he tells us that. He tells us that in his own words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Now listen, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Now, some people look at that passage of Scripture and think, well, Paul's kind of being hypocritical, isn't he? He's just kind of playing to the crowd, right? No. Because not one time in doing any of this did Paul ever compromise his faith or his witness or his belief in Christ. Listen, we can and we should. We need to be out there. We need to be out there spending time with people who aren't like us. We need to be spending time with those people who aren't believers so that we can have an influence in their lives, so that we can make that kind of impression on them. But we can do that without compromising our faith and our belief and our witness. That's what Paul's talking about here. To the prison guard, he became a prisoner. And the impression that he left on that prison guard sparked an interest, and that interest led the prison guard to ask a question. And because of the impression that they made and because of the question he asked, let's look at the results. Let's just look at what happened. The jailer believed and was baptized. The jailer's entire household believed and were baptized. The jailer proved his conversion by his deeds. It says he took them in, even in the middle of the night. He cleaned their wounds. They put a meal before them. Did everything he could to take care of them and make things right with them. William Barclay says, unless our Christianity makes us kind, it is not real. Unless our declared change of heart is guaranteed by our change of deeds, it is superficial and false. Do we show a Christ-like spirit when we're being mistreated and when things aren't going our way? Here's something I learned from this. Every situation we find ourselves in, whether it's good or bad, whether it's positive or negative for us, every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity to be Jesus to somebody. And that's what we're called to be. What does the term Christian mean? It means Christ-like. And every situation we find ourselves in could be an opportunity to share Jesus with someone else. Impressions matter. So I would ask us just this simple question this morning. What kind of impression do our lives make on the people around us? Do they look at us and say, there's a person who follows Jesus Christ, or there's a person who has something about their life that is really interesting to me, and I want to find out what it is? impressions matter. So I want to encourage us today. Let's do our very best to live our lives in a way that leave a Christ-like impression with everybody we come in contact with.